Good to have you here this morning. We hope you open your Bibles and your minds as we study some things together. Hope that will be an encouragement to you and that you will continue to strive to do God's will and to be effective in His kingdom. A couple of things before we begin. I want to point out my mother did come home from the hospital yesterday. She's doing somewhat better. They're monitoring her. Hopefully they've got that problem under control with her bleeding, and she's doing much better. So thank you for your prayers on that behalf, and want to continue to remember her in your prayers. Also, would ask that you continue to remind you about the prayer list that's on the board, where many people have asked to be placed on that list with serious illnesses and problems. We need to remember them in our prayers. Want to remember Philip. He goes to the doctor tomorrow to find out about if he's going to need surgery on his toe, so continue to keep that in prayer. And also, I understand that Chris Freeman is undergoing some tests for some medical problems that he's having, so continue to remember him and Jack and Carmen in your prayers also. One of Brother Stanley mentioned the lists that are on the board. I did something a little different that I have not done in the past. I did a yearly financial statement where I put all the things that how everything was spent during the year, how much we took in, the expenses, and where they all went. I have a copy of that. If you would like a copy of that, see me. I'm not going to put that on the bulletin board, but if you would like a copy to see that end of year financial statement, see me. I'd be more than happy to give you a copy of it. We live in a world where sometimes it's difficult to place our confidence, our trust in others, and to be able to ask for help, and to be able to look to other things for help in difficulties of life. But especially being a Christian, we need to be able to, at any time, under any circumstance, be able to turn our lives and our problems and our difficulties and our struggles over to the one who can help us secure our faith and our resolve to overcome them. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a problem in trusting? Do you have a problem in trusting? I'm not just talking about God, but I'm talking in general. Do we have a problem with trusting people? I want you to take your Bibles out and turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter, for a moment. Matthew chapter 9. And I want to look at verse 20 and 21. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. It says, suddenly, a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. And then I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, in verse 42 and through 48. Luke chapter 8, begin reading in verse number 42. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of them all the reason she had touched him, and immediately how she had been healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." You see, she trusted in the Lord with all of her heart. She knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that her problem that she had had for 12 years and all the livelihood that she had spent in order to get it fixed and could not get it fixed, she trusted that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be made well. You could not do that unless you had a total, without reservation, trust that this man could heal her. She didn't have any doubt. She fully trusted and was resolved to get to Jesus in order that she could be healed. She had total trust that that action would result in her healing, and it did. But you see, she first had to trust the Lord. What I want to suggest to you this morning, and this has come to shock to none of us, that tough times come in life. Things happen to us that have nothing to do with decisions that we have made, choices that we have made, any sin that we have committed, and anything that we've done to bring these things upon ourselves. They just happen. They come up on us suddenly. It can be an accident. We're getting the part of our weather season where we're going to get snow, hopefully not very much. As some other parts of the country are getting, I hope we're going to be excused from all that. But if not, you're going to have to be careful. You're going to have to put your trust in your vehicle that it's going to get you from point A to point B, and you're going to have to trust your ability to drive that vehicle. And then there are things that happen to us that are just a matter of fact of life. You know, I've been in this situation with this man by the bed, probably of his wife, who was praying and asking for God's comfort and help. I remember this same kind of thing. Not very long ago in my own life, on Friday night, I stood at the bed of a dear brother, and we prayed together, and we petitioned God. And I totally know that he and I both, without reservation, trust God. You can't pray to somebody you don't trust. I trust that whatever the situation is, whatever the adversity is, whatever the difficulty that is troubling me in my life, that I can turn to God in total trust that he will do what's best in order to help me. Now, I want you to notice something I said. He'll do what is best for me. That may not be the same thing that I think that is best for me. And remember, why is God in a better position to make that call than I am? Because God has all the information. God has all the answers. God has all the power, and God knows what is most needed in my life. And so if you pray, which I hope we do, and if we ask God for things, and we put our faith and trust in God, then we must be ready to receive that answer, whatever that answer is. However that comes out. As I've been in this situation, in dire situations, I've been in nursing homes, where in hospice centers, where people are dying, they're about to leave this life, and their family is grieving, and they're struggling, and they know that the end is near. And they ask me to pray, and they trust that God will comfort their loved one and comfort them, as they know that this final journey has to be taken. And it's not going to stop what's going to happen. What's going to happen is going to happen. But is it of great comfort that you're not struggling with that alone? That there's somebody who truly understands how hard it is to let go, to say goodbye, to be able to turn away from a situation that you cannot control. You see, there are certain things in this life that we can't control. Hebrews 9 says, we're going to die. That's going to happen. We're all going to face death. And after death cometh the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. The Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. That will come. You're not going to escape it. There are going to be things in this life that we want to take a pass on. We want to avoid it. We want to be able to let somebody else experience that. We don't want that to come into our lives. But if you trust God, if you put your faith in God, do you have enough faith? Do you have enough trust that whatever happens, you will understand that God helped you with that burden? Now, I don't have all the answers, and neither do you. But we do have one answer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about temptation, God makes a statement there that's important, not just about temptation, but about problems in general. In verse 13, he said, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Now, in the context, this is talking about temptation. Now, there's nothing that's going to be placed before us that we're not going to be able to overcome. Now, let me suggest to you this morning that that also has to do with the temptation of losing your faith, losing your confidence, and losing your dedication to God because a certain situation doesn't come out the way that you wanted it to. There's a temptation there. There's an opportunity there for the devil to use that discouragement in order to weaken your faith and weaken your resolve to continue to pray to God. There's a temptation to do that. It's real. You know, I've had people in situations where a loved one is dying, and this loved one is not a Christian and never had any religious inclination in their life. This happened to me a number of years ago in Las Vegas. And their family was gathered around his bed. One of the daughters and sister were members of the church. And I was there with them, and I was trying to comfort them, and they wanted me to pray that God would take them to end their suffering. I can't do that. I can't pray for God to take someone, because I don't believe God does that to begin with. But I cannot pray for someone to die when I know they're not ready to die, when I know they're not in a good relationship with God. So what did I do? Not pray? No, I didn't. I prayed. I prayed that God's will would be done, that God would comfort and strengthen and be with the doctors and the nurses, and that he would do whatever's best, and that he would comfort the family, because that's all I can do. I can't change the decisions of a person's life. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. You can't change the directions of someone in your life that you love because they're going in the wrong direction. You can't change that. But you can not let it destroy you. You've got to work very hard not to let that disappointment and discouragement to ruin your ability to trust God. Here's one thing you need to remember. God didn't make this situation. When we find out, when our loved ones or friends or people that we care about are in a difficult strait and they're not in a proper relationship, God did not create that. God did not make that situation what it is. That situation is made because of situations or of just choices that other people made. But what we have to do is we have to ask God to help us. Trust God to help us. That we can have an effect in their life. That we can be strong. That we can demonstrate our confidence and our courage in God and to go forward. Well, how do you do that? Well, first of all, you've got to be able to know that you can talk to God. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, God wants us. He desires for us to call upon Him, to petition Him. The Bible tells us in another place that we need to make our requests known unto God. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We need to let God know what we need. And sometimes what we need is a stronger faith. Sometimes what we need is more confidence in Him. Sometimes what we need is a better encouragement to turn to Him. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And so when times get tough, we need to look to God. We need to look to God because He can do things that we cannot do for ourselves. Now again, that does not mean that it's going to come out the way that you want it to come out. But it will come out to what's best. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, does that mean that everything that happens in my life is for my good? No, that's not what it means. What it means is that everything that happens in my life can turn out for good. If I will allow it to do what it can do. And what it can do, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, is it can make you stronger. In 1 Peter 1, in verse 6, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you be grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other passages, it tells us that this kind of tribulation in Romans, that it produces perseverance. And perseverance produces faith. And so, talking to God will help us. And you know why it helps us? Because He listens. We need to listen to God's answer. In Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do for me? You know, listening to God is understanding that God is listening to you. God is listening to me. When I pray to God, He is listening. In James 2, verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? You know, God loves us. God's concerned about us. God cares about us. He understands the trivialities of life. He understands the difficulties of life. He understands that there's going to be adversity. He knows it's coming. He's tried to tell us that so we can prepare. But sometimes we forget and we try to do this by ourselves. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There are things that happen, things that can happen in your life. If you try to do it by yourself, you're going to struggle. You're going to be miserable. And you're going to make matters worse. Now, will prayer dry the tears? No. Will tears answer and prayer answer all the questions you want answered? No. Will prayer guarantee that it will come out the way you want? No. I'm just being honest. No. But now I would tell you, will prayer make it better? Without reservation. Yes. Yes, it will make it better. If you trust God, it will be better. Because it demonstrates faith. It also builds your faith. It also gives confidence to you. You know, a lot of people don't pray to God because they don't trust God. They don't really believe He hears them. They don't really believe God listens to them. But if that's you, then you're missing the point. You know, we need to wait on God. Well, we have trouble. We have trouble with this part. In Psalms 25, in verse 5, there is a statement made here that I believe is very hard for us to grasp in our lives here. In Psalm 25 and verse 5, it says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Lead me to your salvation. I wait on you all the day. And in Isaiah, in chapter 30, and in verse 18, chapter 30, and verse number 18, "Therefore the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on Him." You know what? Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, we've been conditioned for instantaneous results. If I'm in the dark, I can rectify it by flipping on a switch. If I'm sick, I want to be better yesterday. If I have a problem, I want it to be in the past. We are not very patient people. And we are not very long-suffering people. We don't like to endure anything. But you know what? God has a timetable. God does things according to His will, to His time. Then we must trust Him. Now think about this for a moment. When man sinned in Genesis 3, and he fell from his relationship with God, and he fell into sin, and now he's got a problem. God knew that he could not fix his problem. God knew that man was now in a dilemma. He could not do anything for himself. Now God's going to have to do something in order to bring man back into fellowship with Him. He was going to have to send His Son. How long from Genesis 3 did that take? 4,000 years. Why so long? Why didn't He send Him immediately in Genesis 3? Why did He wait as long as He did? Because God had a plan. God had a timetable. And He was going to do things in His time. And you know what? It all worked out. It all worked out, and it didn't just benefit a certain sect of people, it ended up benefiting the whole world. And so his plan had merit, but you had to wait on God. Spend time with God's people. You know, one of the things that can help build your trust is people who are of like precious faith. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about let each of us esteem others better than himself. Let us look to other people's interests other than ourselves. This is another bridge that's difficult for us to cross because of the way that we're conditioned in this world. In the world, we're conditioned to look after number one. We're conditioned to look about me. It's all about me. It's about what I need, what I want. But you know something that sometimes can help you deal with your problem is get involved with somebody else's problem. Get involved with somebody else who's struggling even greater than you are, who's having more difficulty than you are. You know what that will do? That will lessen all the time that you think and you worry about your own problems. It will help you develop faith. You know, an old preacher once told me, Keith, whenever you think you have it bad, if you'll just be patient, God will let you meet someone that's got it worse than you. And you know what? That's proved to be right. Whenever I think that my problems are so overwhelming, I can always look to other people who are having much more difficulty than I am. And then that helps me not to get overwhelmed by my problems. You know, all problems have one thing in common. You know what they are? They're temporary. They begin and they end. They're temporary. But you know what? We can make that temporary just go on and on and on if we dwell on them. Now in 1 John chapter 3, John, if you want a commentary about the relationship between we ought to have as brethren, you study the book of 1 John. That's what that book's all about, the love of brethren that God commands us to have. In verse 17 of the third chapter it says, "For whoever has this world's good and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Brethren, there are men and women in the Lord's church, and even here, that I trust explicitly. That if I had a problem, and I had a difficulty, and I was struggling, I would automatically go to them. Because I know that they care about me. And I know that they try to help me. And you know what? That's a comfort. Let me ask you a question in all honesty. Could you have too many friends like that? Could you ever have too many people like that in your life? No, the problem is we don't have enough of them. It's not that we don't have too many, it's that we don't have enough. You know, brother, if life hasn't taught you this yet, it's going to. You need other people. You need support. We need support. We need people to care about us. We need people to lift us up when we're down. We need people to help us to move forward when going forward is difficult. We need that because it gives us encouragement. You know what I've always tried to remember as a gospel preacher? That someday this situation may be reversed. Well, I'm the one that's in dire need. That I'm the one that's struggling. And I'm going to need help. But I hope I've lived my life in such a way that if those times would come in my life, that there would be people that would step up to the plate and would help me. And I believe there are. I believe there's people that I'll tell you how confident I am. I have a good friend in California. And he's really struggling now with his health. He's younger than I am. I really find it difficult that he's having so much trouble. He's got a serious problem with his heart. But I'll tell you, as much as he's struggling, if I needed him, he'd get on a plane and he'd be here. I don't have any reservation about that. He's not my brother. He's not in my immediate family. But you know what? The same is true to him. If he called me and said, Keith, I don't know what to do. I'm afraid I'm losing my faith. I'd be on the next plane to California. You know why? Because I love him. And he's always helped me. And if I can reciprocate that, then I want to do that. But brethren, you need people like that in your life. We all do. We all need people like that. And that's why God gave us, one of the greatest blessings that God gave us is each other. Who else understands what a trial it is to live as a Christian in an ungodly world? Who better understands the ups and downs of living this life and how this life can turn you inside out? Who can better understand that than another brother or sister in Christ? You see, we need to spend time with God. We need to have confidence in each other, that we can trust each other when adversity comes in our life. Then how much do we really trust the Lord when things happen in our lives? I got a cousin who lives in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. He's been out of work since last August. He has a master's degree. He's one of the smartest people I know. And he was in the military, in the reserves, and went to the position of major. And he's come out of that. He was in the civilian world of that. And he's been looking for work. He's been sending resumes out of state. He just keeps at it. But, you know, I worry about him. But if you talk to him, you're not worried. He's not thrown in a white towel. He's not concerned. He says, it'll work out. He says, something will happen. And you know what? I believe him. It will. But could that just destroy your faith? Could that just cause you anxiety upon anxiety? He's got three kids. He's married. You know, I say, hey, you need some help? No. You know, how do people face those kind of things and not allow them to destroy them? Because of their trust in God, the problem. You know, there's a passage in Psalm that says that I've never seen God's people begging for bread. I believe that's true. I believe that a person who's really striving to serve God, whatever they need, that God will make the opportunity and the ability for that person to get what they need. Through his means or through the means of people around them. I believe God takes care of his people. You know what? Didn't he promise Israel that? All what they have to do to receive it. Just be faithful. Just trust me. So what did they do? They began to turn to other gods. How could you do it? God would give them everything. They had everything right. And yet they turned to other gods. And then when everything went haywire and everything went wrong, they couldn't understand why. You know, sometimes things get worse in our life because we haven't placed the proper faith in God. Because we haven't generated a true trust in the Lord. Sometimes we're in a hole and we just keep digging it. We just keep digging the hole instead of trying to let people help us get out of it. We need to have a little humility and understand that we sometimes need help, and it's not wrong to ask for help. Now, let me bring this lesson to a close by asking some questions. Do you trust the Lord enough? Do you trust him enough to be saved? In John 14, verse 6, the Bible says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Do you trust God enough to be saved? To save you. Next, do you trust him for your prayers to be heard? When you pray to God, as we read in Philippians 4, verse 6, make your requests known unto God. Cast your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do you have enough faith in God to believe and trust that when you pray to him, you know that he is listening, that he cares? Do you have enough trust in the Lord to cast away anxiety? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. In the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus dealt with a problem that all of us face in this life. And it has to do with worry. But you know what worry does? Worry produces anxiety, and anxiety produces stress, and stress kills us. You know what the number one killer in this world is? Not heart disease, not cancer, stress. Stress. And it's something that we put on ourselves. This is a self-induced sickness. Listen to what Jesus said, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds now. These are things that we all are concerned about. You know, our health, our well-being. But you know, how does he answer that? Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry about what you shall eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Now, did you hear what he said? Jesus said, God knows that you need food, shelter, and clothing. God knows that. Look at verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are these things? These things are the necessities of life. Food, shelter, clothing, security. God says if you put his desires first, then those things that you need that are secondary, God will be sure that you have them. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? That's what the book says. Therefore, if you believe it, here's what the conclusion is. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about his own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You know what? It's not wrong to be concerned about things. But it is wrong to be unnecessarily concerned. To be unnecessarily anxious. To worry yourself into the grave. That's a sin. When you are a Christian, God is going to provide for you. You know, we have a song we sing. God will take care of you. Remember that song? Is that true or false? That's true. Now, he might not take care of you the way you might want him to take care of you. But he'll take care of you that you can live, and you can be productive, and you can be happy, and you can have blessings in your life. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to have to go through the hard times to get through the good times. Let me ask you something. Which is easier? Trust God when it's good, or to trust God when it's bad? Keith, it's easier to trust Him when it's good. Yeah, but that's not how your faith grows. It's easier to have faith in God when everything's well. But you know what you're going to find out when you have difficulty in life? You're going to find out how strong your faith really is. You're going to find out how much trust you really have. And to cast away anxiety means I'm not going to worry about things that I can't control. How many of us worry about things we cannot do anything about? What does it do for us? Nothing. It does nothing but hurt us. It does nothing but zap you of energy. It zaps you of having peace of mind. It erases everything. What it does, it hinders and prolongs things that are good in your life. It zaps it out of you. We have to trust God, to not be anxious, to be content. Are you content? What that means is, are you content with what's going on in your life? Well, I'd be content if my back felt better. I'd be more content if I could do this or do that. You know, Paul said in Philippians 4 that he learned to be content in whatever state he found himself in. You know, sometimes we just have to learn to accept how things are. Now, maybe we would like them to be better. Maybe we'd like them to be different. But you know how you can make the present hard to live? Because you dwell too much in the past. The good old days. What I used to be able to do. What I can't do now. If you continually dwell on that, then it will hinder the present. It will rob you of joy in the present. It will rob you of your ability to be effective in the present. The future, you don't know, and I don't know. The past, you can learn from it, overcome it, and move forward. It's your decision. Do you trust God enough to be content in your life? And last, that He will provide for your needs. Whatever you need. Maybe what you need this morning is you need more faith. Maybe you need more confidence in yourself. Maybe you need more confidence in God. Maybe you need to trust Him more. But are you confident that whatever you need, He can provide you? Remember the passage I just read a minute ago about the lilies of the field? I don't know if you've ever been in Arizona to Sequoia National Park. Oh, excuse me, Sedona. The Sedona National Park is one of the most beautiful places that you could go to in our country. And it's in Arizona. And out there in the Sedona Park, it gets maybe 120 degrees in the summertime. And you could go in that park, and it rains very little, maybe less than an inch a year. And you go in that park, and you will see some of the most beautiful flowers that you have ever seen in your life. How do they grow in that heat? How do they grow without water? And how are they so magnificently put in that place? God causes that to be so. Now, here's the point. If God can do that, can He help me? Can He help me deal with my struggle, with my difficulty, with my problem? Is God equipped to help me? If God takes care of flowers that do nothing, who does he love more? Those flowers or me? Who is more precious to him? Those flowers or me? Who did he die for? Those flowers or me? And who does he want to be in heaven with? Me and you. And God wants us to win this race of life. But what he does not want to happen is he doesn't want us to destroy ourselves in the process. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? This life can do it to you if you let it. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why some people seemingly have to struggle with more than other people. I don't know the answer to that. But I do know this, that God will see you through the storm if you trust him. If you let him help you, he will help you. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6 and verse 8 that he knows what we need even before we ask. Why do we have to call on him if he already knows what I need? It shows trust and faith. It shows trust and faith. You know, sometimes we think if we had the answers to why we're going through certain things, we think we'd be better. Maybe you better rethink that. You know, there's things that God does not tell us for a reason. There are many things that we face in this life that God does not tell us the why. And I believe there's a reason for that. Now, do I understand what that reason is? No. But I do understand this, that we can kill ourselves trying to figure out the why when the why won't matter in the end. Will it? Will it really matter if we know why? Or do we need to focus on how to get through it instead of why it happened? You know, I have not had to deal with some of the things that you folks have had to deal with here. Some of you have had some great adversity come in your life, not of your own doing, but just because it happened. And you know what? I've tried to encourage you. I've tried to help you. But you know what? I've never been through that. I know what I ought to do. I know what God expects me to do. But it's easier said than done because it hasn't happened to me. But you know what? It might. And I'm trying to prepare myself for when it does. Because then I need to practice what I've been preaching. And I hope that I do. I think I will. I hope I will. But I want you to know that I'm giving you advice that works. Trust the Lord. He won't let you down. He won't turn his back on you. And he wants you to win at this thing. He wants you to be in heaven with him when this life is over, and he's not going to let anything come between you and that unless you let it. He won't allow it to be taken from you, but you can throw it away. Trust the Lord. He will see you through. Please take your songbook to the song that Brother Mel has picked for an encouragement song. If you're here and you're not a Christian, we want to give you the opportunity to become one. If you are one, and maybe you're struggling, maybe you haven't trusted God as much as you ought to, then redouble your efforts to put your trust in him. You know, one of the old commercials on TV that I'm always mindful of is the Allstate commercial. You know, with those good hands, put your hands in Allstate, you're in good hands with Allstate. Well, I'm here to tell you, when you put your hand in God's hands, you can't be in better hands. You can't be in a better place. God will do what we cannot do for ourselves. And God will help us bear the things that we must bear in this life. We must trust Him. If He can help you in any way, we bid you to come forward as together as we stand.